Brighteon.com and Brighteon.tv were created by Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, for the preservation of freedom of speech. Thanks to Mike and his team for making this available for all of us. Today, my guest is Richard Sachs from the Lost Arts Research Institute, LostArtsRadio.com, and the Planetary Healing Club.com. Richard is a private consultant on anti-aging. He has been aware of the global power structure and their evil plan for humanity. However, Richard shows us the power that we possess that they don't. Those who are willing to wake up and do the work to let go of the limitations in our mind have the power to end the nightmare from the global elite, which has plagued human history for thousands of years. So there is hope. Richard has a perspective on the world that few, if any, in the world have. He has had his eyes on health, wellness, and world governments for over five decades. He might be known as the first conspiracy theorist ever. We'll find out about that and much more when we come back after this short commercial break. Don't go away.
J&M Jewelry provides online jewelry appraisals that are convenient, secure, and affordable. Appraisals are usually completed within 48 hours and sent directly to your email. Contact us today or visit our website to use our appraisal request form. J&MJewelry.com.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com. This is an amazing company that has sponsored both of us. And this is a way to have backup communications when the grid goes down.
Well, the situation became problematic, Mike, with the New Orleans, the latest hurricane, because people panicked. And this is one thing that I've learned from being associated with the satellite phone store for over a decade. People will call and order 600 phones at a time.
What?
It's like this, Mike. Anytime there is a crisis, people want these. And ladies and gentlemen, they've created such a good deal for Mike's viewers, my viewers, our combined viewers, that this is the only way you're going to be able to communicate.
And that's the other beauty about these phones, is they can't track you because it's not talking to a cell tower. It's talking to satellites, you know, orbiting over the equator. So SAT123.com, folks.
Welcome back to Brighteon.tv. I'm Carrie Rivera, and today my guest is Richard Sachs of Lost Arts Radio. Welcome, Richard. I'm so excited to be with you today.
It's a real treat to be here, Carrie. Thank you. You're one of our admired guests from being on our show, too.
I can't wait to come back and visit you. But first, I get to talk to you. It's turning the tables on those who interview, and I'm very excited because you have a plethora of information. So let's start kind of from the beginning. So you're like 19 years old, you're in your dad's lab, and you're learning all kinds of things that many of us didn't learn until a couple of years ago when we were all kind of were forced into this awakening.
Yeah, I was actually more like 15, but he was an engineer, a PhD engineer that worked on aircraft and then realized that was the military-industrial complex and changed to medical research and used the principles for wing airflow and aerodynamics in blood flow and was studying how that worked. And so it just introduced me to the concept of designing experiments and questioning everything, which has pretty much been forgotten in science, so-called science now. Now it's memorizing acceptable information
right.
And getting censored if you don't.
I was just saying that to somebody today, exactly. Like, if you can memorize things and you can regurgitate what you memorize, then all of a sudden you go into this sort of a job description, you know, and then yeah. people that are thinking outside of the box, like people like yourself, for example, you have great success. And why? Because you're really thinking the whole thing through.
Yeah, just question everything. At first, it's a question of fear. You know, what if this isn't true that I've been basing my life on? And, you know, people have a tendency to gravitate toward things they can memorize that will give them answers for everything. And that's how medical school is run, and PhD school, and public health school, and elementary school, and everything in between.
Exactly. What was the first thing that really woke you up when you were young? I mean, the first thing that you really saw with your own eyes that was like that aha moment for your own personal self?
Getting really sick. You know, that starts a lot of people in the right. investigation of natural health stuff. In fact, most of the ones I know had some kind of personal thing that just shook them out of the Wonder Bread diet. And, you know, not saying anything bad about Wonder Bread. We have memorized it, build strong bodies 12 ways. And I grew up watching about on TV. But but if something happens to shock you, it's easier to start questioning things, especially if it's your physical body and you're not functioning. You know, and I was in the hands of really well-meaning doctors supplying standard of care medicine with drugs and surgery approach and getting worse, and I knew they were going to kill me, and I had a choice to make. And I had a tendency to question things as a little kid even. Mm-hmm. You know, in elementary school, they said, memorize the multiplication tables. And I said, why? Why do we have to do that? You know, you explain to me why and how it works, and then I'll do it. And the teacher was really irritated, but I never got over that problem. And so I was asking everything. And so when I got sick later, I was saying, why am I sick? You know, why are they calling toxic chemicals medicine? You know, if they answered that one question, the whole industry would totally change. But nobody questions it. We lost education. You know, part of which is telling you to believe in yourself, find out who you are, and question everything. And instead of that, it's obey and believe. So I decided to get rid of beliefs, and I never found any use for them since then. But I want to know what's really true. I don't want to believe something because it's comfortable and it answers all the questions. I want to know, is that really true? And that got me started when I got forced as a teenager to start questioning what's going on. So I'm still doing that.
What were you sick from? Were you sick as a teenager with some disease or?
Yeah, well, you know, when you ask to what it's called, that's part of the paradigm of diagnosing things.
Right.
And as soon as they do that, they can say, well, it's only this.
Right, true.
And what I found out is that all the so-called diseases and health conditions are systemic. There's none that are confined to one part of the body. But what they did is they did all these tests and tried to diagnose, because as soon as you diagnose, you know what kind of poisonous chemical to eat. And so they diagnosed it first as thyroid-related stuff and then started, you know, the drugs from there. And if your thyroid is overactive, so to speak, it's responding to something, but they don't think that far. They think, well, it's putting out too much thyroid hormone, so we have to paralyze it with poison. That's really what medicine does. And so they either want to stimulate or paralyze. And I, for some reason, realized there was something wrong with that picture and just dumped it and escaped before they did anymore. So that led to everything else.
How did you investigate? Because back in the day, I mean, I know my son was diagnosed with autism, and there was really almost nothing on, I mean, the internet was, you know, void.
Yeah, there was no publicly available internet at all.
Right.
This was decades before that. So I read a lot of books. I mean, people like, you know, general nutrition teachers were writing about things like the macrobiotic diet and
like Sally Fallon, and those were around back then or not yet?
I think this was before that.
Okay.
And Adele Davis, other people like that, Diet for a Small Planet, Francis Moore LaPay, and people, just the idea that what you put in your body and what you do, you know, as far as exercise and all that, really controlled your health status. And controlling it with drugs was a mistake. It was like driving down the road and the red oil light comes on saying that your engine oil is not under enough pressure. And instead of stopping and checking out, you take a hammer out of the glove compartment and break the light and keep driving. And then the engine blows up. And it's the basis of the whole medical system. And some of the trauma care is really good, putting you back together after you get hit by a car.
Absolutely.
But their ideas of health are completely insane. And it's mixed with this arrogance that complexity means wisdom. And, you know, they get programmed to be insulted if it's questioned. It's very hard to talk to highly educated people, unless they're some of the brilliant ones that have stayed sane through the process. But it's like cult programming. And even a lot of the really advanced doctors now that are aware of some of what's happening with the fake pandemic, they can't grasp the whole picture. You know, most of them say, I'm not anti-vaccine. You know, why not? Do you not know what vaccines are? You know, you haven't done the work. You've memorized safe and effective, and you don't question it. And it's completely not true. And it's never been true since Jenner. So, you know, they get part of the picture and not the whole thing. And it gets bigger, and the world has been in the clutches of dark energy for thousands of years, like you mentioned.
Yeah, like but you said, sorry, go ahead.
It's not bad to grasp the bad things, because then you use that to say, what are the solutions, and turn it around.
I think it's like what you were saying before. You were saying there's always that one moment when we wake up, like my mother was saying, or my best friend and her husband were saying, and if it wasn't for our children being vaccine injured and that woke us up, you know, right. And we're like, oh, wait a second. And then, of course, that was the whole paradigm was shot, you know, for us since then. So when this came around, there was not even a consideration that was a good idea, because we already saw what happened. And my mother still lives with people saying, like, oh, you got to get it. You got to get it. You know, and my mom's like, no, I already saw what happened, and that's not going to happen to me.
The whole situation is a consciousness issue, because, and by consciousness, I don't mean able to recite a list of what's going bad in the world. That's just outside awareness. Consciousness, I mean by self-awareness, you know, who we are. We got totally separated from that. So getting it back, we wouldn't fall for any of this stuff. We just know immediately what's not true. It supersedes science. It's way more advanced. Way more powerful. And people don't really mostly grasp what consciousness is about. I mean, I talk about this stuff, but I'm fully aware that I'm a beginner student of it. You know, I'm not coming across like somebody who's mastered anything. But I think part of the attitude of real science requires that you don't know much of anything. And that's good. That lets you learn. If you think you know all this stuff, then you can't afford to have it contradicted. And that just stops learning. So it's not fake humility. It's automatic when you realize, you know, you're processing everything through senses and a brain. You're seeing almost none of what's really going on. You know, the reality is far beyond the physical environment that we're in. So it's challenging to figure that out, but you can do it.
How do we go about doing those kind of things? Because I still always think so much in the physical. So the idea of something being a different meaning that isn't something in the physical, that is a hard concept for many of us.
Well, I don't think it's one or the other. You know, you still have to do things in the physical. Like, for example, if you never move and don't exercise and don't work out and don't stretch and, you know, don't walk and things like that, your physical body starts, it's programmed to think that you don't need the muscle mass, and it starts going away. So the physical stuff's really important to understand how it works, detoxification and things like that, nutrition. But when you look at people's lifestyle hurting them, and you just say, well, you should, you know, stop eating this junk food and eat this other stuff instead, you run into blocks. And it's not that they don't understand, it's that there's an emotional connection to using food for feeling comfortable and happy, even if it's not healthy physically. And if you try to overcome those blocks by force, In the long run, it does not work, in my experience. But if so, you have to start dealing with mind, because mind is the source of all those projected programs, not the outside world. And if you get in touch with that, excuse me, then you can communicate with mind and change it. And I think that's essential. And if you do that, you don't need willpower, because mind starts to cooperate. It makes things a lot easier. Otherwise, you have all these theories about a perfectly healthy protocol on the physical level. And the reason people don't do it is that it's only being adjusted physically. So I think they have to be put together. So it's a combination. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think this is the stretch. It's sort of mind bending for me. It's stretch the concept, because everything in my life has been just, you know, all these
stuff. Well, you have an example there. People have heard of Indian spiritual teachers giving a mantra to their students, something to repeat over and over. And the idea is that these ancient Indian yogis and others found that the mind is keeping us imprisoned in false perception and ideas that aren't true. And in the background, below the conscious level, it's repeating things over and over again. And if you have a mantra, it moves the attention and it stops the self-harmful thoughts. But most people think, well, that's just, you know, these Indian yogis or whoever's teaching that. And it turns out that everybody's a totally devoted follower of using mantras. They just don't realize it. So they're aware of some of their conscious thoughts. But if you get quiet and look at, like right now, you can do it. What's in the back of your mind? What are you thinking? Is that what you're intentionally thinking, or is it just going through your mind? You know, a commentary about some person, or did I forget to let the dog out, or what happens if I get in a car accident, or do I have enough money to pay the bill? And that's a train of thoughts that are going on right under the surface. Mm-hmm. You know, like we could be having a conversation and I could be having those thoughts underneath. And becoming aware of those thoughts is essential, because every one of them has an emotional counterpart. And that's what gives them power. And there's a frequency that goes with every one of those emotional states. And they're very strong. And if they're scattered, which fear does and things like that, then you can't really do anything constructive with it. But if you become aware of it and you focus it, then you have an incredibly powerful effect on other people and on circumstances and things that just look like they're happening by chance. And it turns out that nothing happens by chance ever, and that there's messages and things that come up, and you start to affect those. People wonder about, you know, you've heard of the phenomenon of manifesting. You have a certain thought and you manifest a new car or whatever you want, a good marriage or something. And everybody wonders, how do you do that? There was a guy named Dick Sutphen in the 70s that put out cassette tapes at the time that said, I am powerful, I am rich, I am, you know, those are called affirmations. And occasionally somebody got a result from them, but most of the time they didn't do anything except make money on the tapes. And the reason was because the repeating a thought doesn't do anything. It's the emotional state. And if you become aware of that, you start to see how it's affecting your experience during the day. And you can test that yourself. We're just, you know, back to real science, like we're talking about. Get an idea, do something, and then see what the result is and see what you can learn from that. And we have great power. And at the top of the power structure that is controlling what's going on in the negative sense in the world right now, they know that their danger is if we wake up to the power that we are walking around with and use it, the whole thing is over. And instead of having a hell on earth scenario, which they're developing systematically here, you have the opposite, because we're more powerful than they are. Light is much more powerful than darkness. So, because the darkness is just a distortion that's temporary, but you have to become self-aware to use it. So, I don't know if any of this is making sense or
It is, but it's also really deep. So I'm actually listening. That's why I'm kind of quiet, because usually I'm just chattering away with my ADHD. But yeah, that very, very much listening, because I do believe, and there was actually something very profound in the movie A Bug's Life. It's a Disney movie that my kids
remember. Yeah.
And the grasshopper says, if those ants ever realize there's more of them than there are of us, our way of life is over.
Yeah. And
that's
and
exactly
that's,
what you're talking about, isn't it?
Well, that's still on the physical level, because they're talking about numbers of ants, you know, versus the few grasshoppers. And that's like the trucker convoy and things like that. I think that's really important. But what puts power in that, that can start with a single person, one ant, is that ant becoming self-aware. Because what I'm saying is, we're more than we look like. We're not the physical form. That's a costume we're wearing temporarily. And just to give you a idea of something that really affected me, I was born with partial memory of times before this lifetime, before I could read books or talk to anybody or anything like that. And that really had a deep impact. And it helped me realize later, when it came back, that we exist in and out of form, going to different places, and we're here briefly. And if we can, this is like being in a dream world, and it looks real, but this obviously a longer discussion. But if you get into the quantum physics approach, that was based on the idea that the experimenter affects the experiment. So you have a person sitting next to a so-called random number generator, a computer, coming up with half even and half odd numbers. And you train the person to focus on either even or odd, say even numbers, and the computer starts changing what it's putting out. That's just a clue. The thing is to find out, what does that mean? And similar things have come up with, there was a Japanese scientist named Dr. Emoto, and he did some famous experiments with water. I don't know if you've heard of those, but they trained the lab tech to sit in front of a glass of water and project an emotional state. I was saying that emotions are where the power is. And this guy in a lab trained his lab techs to project love or gratitude or hate or indifference. And then they flash froze samples of the water and looked at the pattern of the crystals. It was still H2O, but it was a different lattice structure between the molecules. And the ones where there was projecting love and gratitude were the most powerful. And just by focusing that, they flash froze that water, and it made these beautiful patterns, artistic drawings. More has been done since then. These are clues. That's the power level I'm talking about. And the water is not the only thing you can affect. Even if it was, it would be powerful, because most physical bodies, you know, people and animals and birds and things, they're mostly water, whether it's in a glass or in a living form. And what's living becomes a question too, because the water is tuning into you. And there's a lady that's done experiments with this, that the water is asked questions and actually makes graphic responses. I mean, our idea of the universe is really limited. So these are just hints. There's also a hospital in China. I'm trying to remember who made the video. Maybe I'll remember. And it's called the No Drug Hospital. And people were going there from all over the world before the COVID stuff. You may have heard of it. And this lady went there and filmed her experience. She had advanced, I think it was bladder cancer. And this tumor was almost filling up her bladder. And they put an ultrasound device on her lower abdomen over the bladder when she lay on the hospital bed, and these three Chinese doctors were standing behind the bed, and they were chanting something in Chinese language. It wasn't the words. There aren't any magic words at all for bad guys or good guys or anybody. That's not true. But the focus behind the words has a lot of power, if it's just like the water experiment. And these doctors were chanting in Chinese, already done, over and over. But not just while their mind was going off to the grocery store. They were emotionally experiencing, right. The cancer's gone. It's already done. And we watched in 30 minutes, it totally disappeared.
My gosh.
This is a clue. and there are others.
Sure.
And so looking at it, the question that should come up is, why has nobody scaled this up? Think what it could do. And not just with your decision of what to change, but what if spirit, which I found out is actually real, you know, this concept that people talk about in different religions and they call it God or spirit or other things. I said before, I wasn't interested in beliefs. I'm interested, but not attracted to them. But I want to know what's behind it.
In 15 seconds, we're going to break. We have to continue this on the other side of the break. Please stay with me and Richard Sachs, because we need to know more. This is fantastic. Thank you so much. Oh, Richard, this is like my own private course here. You're amazing. Stay. Thank you.
This is an amazing company that has sponsored both of us. And this is a way to have backup communications when the grid goes down.
Well, the situation became problematic, Mike, with the New Orleans, the latest hurricane, because people panic. And this is one thing that I've learned from being associated with the satellite phone store for over a decade. People will call and order 600 phones at a time.
What?
It's like this, Mike. Anytime there is a crisis, people want these. And ladies and gentlemen, they've created such a good deal for Mike's viewers, my viewers, our combined viewers, that this is the only way you're going to be able to communicate.
And that's the other beauty about these phones, is they can't track you because it's not talking to a cell tower. It's talking to satellites, you know, orbiting over the equator. So SAT123.com, folks.
J&M Jewelry specializes in custom engagement rings that are made in America. Our master designers have years of experience in all types of engagement ring styles. Since we are manufacturers and wholesalers, we can provide you with the highest quality GIA certified diamonds or gemstones at the lowest price. Schedule an appointment with us today.
J&MJewelry.com.
Thank you for staying with us. I'm Carrie Rivera, and my guest today is Richard Sachs. And we got cut off because I was absolutely completely focused on what Richard was saying. So we were just talking about the No Medicine Hospital in China, Japan. Where did you say that was?
That one was in China. I'm not saying that's the only one, but that's the one I saw on video.
Right, but it definitely has a lot of implications as to how important our thoughts are, not just in the water, but in the healing.
Right, because size and you know, space and time and things like that, those are concepts that are arbitrary. You know, what makes something big or small? That tumor in the bladder cancer is that big or small? You know, it's big compared to the bladder. It's small compared to the solar system. You know, why do you have to think something is too big to work on or too small? And the other thing is, there's so many things I want to fit into this short segment we've got, but science always thinks that it can micromanage things, what they call science currently, thinks that it can micromanage things successfully and that it knows enough to figure out how to use a technology, for example, mRNA technology, that's to change the genetic code of humans and other animals too. To think that they have the wisdom and the consciousness to use that in any way that's not going to be a disaster is a big mistake. And I'm not hating anybody, because I'm saying what and all we can do is hints in this segment because the time's going to go real fast. But what I alluded to the fact that these are costumes we're wearing. It's like if you're in an elementary school play and you Farmer in the Dale or some big drama like that, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to play one of the characters. What you are aware, you're not really that character. You're you. That's the situation we're in. This movie or play, we're totally identified with the character we're playing. And that's fine, but it's good to remember if that's not you. It's like if you're playing a video game, some of the early ones had a character, like what they call them role-playing games. And you choose this hero or warrior or princess or, you know, queen or a king or whatever, and you give them certain qualities that you think will be useful in the game. And then you play the game and you try to discover the treasures and avoid the dragons and stuff like that. That's what we're doing. And we're so identified with the character that we chose for this particular episode of the game, and there are many, that we forgot we're the player, not the character. We're the actor, not the character we're portraying. And that's what I'm calling consciousness. Not the idea that that's true. The experience, it's totally different than the belief. So shifting to that experience means now you remember how you put the character together and you can let something flow into that character, not make the character act on its own. And these scientists that think they know how to use these technologies, they're acting on their own, on what they memorized, and they make all kinds of mistakes. It's like, you know, the old story of Aladdin and the lamp, and he rubs the lamp and the genie comes out, and the genie says, okay, you got it made. You have 3 wishes for anything in the world that you want. And Aladdin gets all excited. And the parable is that no matter what you wish for, there's something you didn't think of. Some detail that you overlooked. Like the guy who says, wow, I want 50 tons of gold right now. And she said, okay. And he dumps it on his head and he dies. So, you know, you can't think of everything. But there's a force, an essence in existence. Not, I was going to say in the universe, but it's way beyond that. That is real. That people put into beliefs about God and spirit and things like that. But they make it in their own image, like it's some man that's really mad and he's going to come and kill all the bad people and reward all the good people, and they're going to lie in hammocks and walk on golden streets and stuff like that. That's the human idea of justice, enjoying seeing the bad people suffer, not realizing intrinsically those bad people are like us. They're buried in mountains of programming, and they're the most imprisoned of anybody. Instead of this Hatfield and McCoy vision of the good versus the bad all the time and a fighting paradigm that never ends, there's something beyond the fighting paradigm. And it doesn't mean become, you know, a victim and let people rob you and shoot you and all. The self-defense and the firearms rights and all those are critically important, because without them, things degenerate really fast, as they're doing now. But the violence and the conflict is not going to resolve the basic issue, which is that we're in this paradigm of fighting over things that are mistaken perceptions. And if you wake up to who you are, not the character, what radiates out of you is so powerful that it's like, you know, they talk about the vaccine damage being shed by people who are, you can't see that shedding, right? But it's real. Well, we're shedding conscious frequencies all the time. And most of what we're doing now is sharing consciousness of fear, anger, frustration, resentment, all these things that are counterproductive, and they incite the same thing in the people that receive them without knowing it. And the people at the top of the negative power structure are aware of this, and they're pumping negative frequencies into the atmosphere to keep us unconscious in the dream. So the real challenge is, if you can see how this is a dream world, it's like the most high-tech video game you can imagine. And it's being fueled by these conscious energies that are coming in from other levels of awareness, then instead of trying to micromanage things like the doctors who make a mistake or like the guy who wished for the gold, you say, Spirit, you are the source of total harmony. I'm going to get out of the way and have the intent for that to flow into everything in my life. And I'm really going to get out of the way internally, as far as worrying and fear and anger and hatred. And hating bad guys is just as self-destructive as hating good guys. It's the frequency of hatred that is self-destructive. And once you learn that you have control over that, not by force, but by harmony, then making changes in lifestyle and physical stuff is easy. You don't run into the same emotional blocks at all. So that's just an idea how it fits together.
Is it sort of like, for example, when I don't think about things, that's become about me apparently, when I don't think about things that make me angry, like I live in Germany and people are always, I go to the store, I always do something wrong. I always get head shakes and like, and so you get under this thing and you're like, I'm just feeling bad about yourself. And then you're remembering that thing instead of maybe remembering something else that was really pleasant, like the cashier who gave you your change with a smile, actually touched your skin, not afraid to get, you know, human contact.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
What I had to do, and I'm sure there's different ways to do it, but, and you know, the old yogis that I talked about in Himalayan caves and ancient times in India and other places, they recognized that these negative thoughts and the emotions coming out of mind were ruining their lives and their chances for spiritual awakening, which is what you're talking about. And so they tried force, you know, and ascetic practices and standing on one leg for a month and not sleeping and stuff like that. Effects, and they became, you know, recognized as amazing beings, but it continues this force thing, and mind can't be overcome by force. It's not mortal, it's not form, it's not physical, it's not brain, it's what works through brain. It's an interface between who we actually are and the information that defines this plane. But mind is conscious on its own, which is the key to what can be done. So it's capable of two-way communication. And if you learn to communicate with it, then you can explain to it, because it's there to help you. Let's not project hatred toward these people that may deserve it, but let's play a game, because mind is like a kid, it likes games. Let's see what we could do to project blessing instead of curse on the person who is nasty to us and see what happens. And that starts to have an effect on your life right away, because whatever you project to other people immediately comes to you. And that opens up all kinds of possibilities. And we find out that just like you're repeating mantras in the back of your mind all the time, even though you're not an official disciple of an Indian guru, you're still doing it unconsciously. We're also not, most of us, followers of Santeria or voodoo or anything like that, where they curse and bless people and use these little dolls and everything. By the way, it's not the doll, it's the focused intent, and it's real. And we think, oh, I would never do that kind of stuff. I'm such and such religion or something. No, you're doing it all the time. And when you think badly towards somebody with the emotion that goes with it, that's a curse, and it is real, and it affects them, and vice versa. And when you think of somebody and you want the best for them and you feel it, that's a blessing, and it actually helps them, even if you don't say anything. So becoming conscious of that, what you put out comes to you. And if you want to be more conscious and aware and have that power come through you, bless everybody. Not in repeated words that you memorized, but in actual sincere wishing the best for them. So you can make it into a game, and somebody in the grocery store that says, you know, you did all this wrong, Carrie, you picked up the wrong food first, or
get away from me, don't touch me,
yeah, did everything bad, you talk to mind, because mind is the one that projects the reaction. Oh, this must be bad about me. And you say, mind, that's great that you're doing all these, you know, projections, but let's do it different now. And just try this as an experiment to see if you can do it, because mind's really powerful. It can do it. And let's project, see, mind projects not just thoughts, but emotions and the emotions are where all the power is. So you start to become aware of what you're projecting. And this is not to ignore physical protocols for your body of detox and nutrition and exercise and sunlight and grounding and sleep and all the things that it's designed to need. But this makes you able to manipulate that without the usual emotional barriers where it's so hard to make changes. The resistance is all being projected by your own mind. And if you communicate with that and convince it that you're sincere, it'll drop the resistance. And you don't have to have psychoanalysis or anything about what your mother did when you were three or what some nasty guy did yesterday. It doesn't matter. Because if the mind doesn't project it, it doesn't happen. And the body turns out to have a similar thing. This is, I don't mean to, you know, overload too much on this, but the body is conscious. And modern science doesn't know that. It knows that it's alive. The cells have, you know, processes going on that you can see under a microscope. It doesn't know that it's conscious. The body as a whole is conscious. Every cell is self-aware, and they all are looking at you, the one who's playing this game, to know what to do. And if you're thinking really fearful emotions and you're despairing and you're saying there's no hope, your cells believe you. They're aware, and they say, there's no point, we might as well die, and they start to fall apart. And that's a non-physical part of degeneration and aging that needs to become conscious. We've got incredible power. And the forces at the top of the power structure, which are not human, understand that. And they know this is an extermination plan. And in order for you, powerful Carrie, to stay out of the way, they need you diverted by all this nonsense of not caring what mind projects. And it just goes by habit. You know, mind has no wisdom. It just has a lot of power. And if the parent of the kid mind doesn't clearly direct it what to do, it keeps putting out, you know, all the cursing other people and blaming everybody and blaming bad luck and feeling despairing and feeling fearful. Fear and anger and things like that have no purpose at all. You know, people think that, oh, if I'm afraid, I'll be stronger and I can run away. Or that's not true. The strongest athletes don't have to get scared when they run a race. And the martial artists, the ones that are really powerful, they don't have to fly into a rage. They're very still, and they're, you know, impenetrable, basically. We have more than that potential in us.
So. Do you give courses on this? Because there's a lot of us that have these flabby brains. You know, they really are just like chattering all day long about garbage. Like, really? Who cares?
Almost everybody. I mean, if you're aware of that, that's fantastic.
But People's problem is they're just jabbering, though. You know, it just goes.
I know.
It's so awful.
That's the barrier between us and what we really are. And that's the greatest fear of the people in power, is that we'll get beyond that barrier. And they're doing everything they can to prevent that. So,
what can we do? And people that are listening to this chat we're having, obviously you're doing it. What can we do to make sure that humanity wins and this dark, awful thing that they're projecting on humanity, you know, 7.5 billion of us or more?
Right. What you're not supposed to know about is that it's not about numbers initially. One person or a handful of people or a small group who really do what we're talking about and get beyond that barrier could start a real pandemic of consciousness on a positive note. And that could spread over the world. And if you want to really have an impact, change your internal state, your emotional state, your chatter, learn how to communicate with mind, and take care of your physical body. Which becomes easier if you do both at once, because say you're eating some kind of garbage and you're really attached to it, which is very common. You try to do it by willpower and it's just too hard. You know, and usually snaps back. But if you work with mind, all the habits and addictions and worries and fears and anger and everything is being projected as a mind program. None of it's real. So if you're willing to tackle that in yourself, that's your hidden key to affecting the rest of the world. You still do your outside activities if you're involved in having a podcast or trying to stop geoengineering or exposing the pandemic hoax or whatever. You don't stop that. But those things take a different turn when you change yourself. Not in how you act, and nothing fake. It's not pretense. It's not things you memorize. You have to change your emotional experience for day-to-day activities, and that can be done by anybody who wants to.
Is there a book on this, or do you give a course on this?
We have a, I used to do more private consulting appointments. It's hard to find time for those. I occasionally still do that, but to reach more people, if anybody's interested in actually pursuing this and doing it in themselves, which is where the key is.
I got a pen out. I got my pen.
That's what Planetary Healing Club is for.
Okay.
And it was a response initially to censorship of health information, because in America and most of the world, real health information is violently suppressed. Hundreds of doctors have been killed in America for exposing vaccines and things like that. The guy in Germany, Kalker or something like that, for talking about graphene hydroxide and things like that. So we started a private group in an uncensored environment to talk about real health and age reversal and stuff like that. But what it quickly morphed into was teaching these kind of things on consciousness, along with the health information, because they have to go together to really get the result you want. And I want to see the world situation turned around before it's completed. And I think that we can do that. So we're trying to reach people in any part of the world that want to do this work, which is going to be in themselves. And that's where I think the hidden power is. Not a new belief system.
So would people go to the planetaryhealthclub.com? I think we have a link for that.
Something. Planetary Healing
PlanetaryHealingClub.com, right?
Yeah, that's it. And then if there's questions about that, there are small dues because we don't do commercials for anything. Mm-hmm. But they're so cheap that anybody can afford it. And if you try it and you hate it, I'll give you the dues back. I don't care. It's not a scam to get money or anything. We're trying to... This is the only thing I've seen that has the power to really make things work. And it's almost totally unknown. So anybody can do it. Anybody
are there videos there? Richard, are there videos there that people are watching?
Or things it's a live interactive meeting once a week, and I'm there in person.
Ah, cool. And, what time is it at?
In U.S. time, it's 6 o'clock Pacific p.m., 6 p.m. Pacific, and 9 o'clock Eastern. And we have people in like Eastern Europe and places where it's too late at night, and they watch the recorded version the next day. And if they want to have input and chat, they can email in comments and we'll deal with them at the next meeting. But we're looking for that maybe one out of, I don't know, 10,000 or 100,000 people that would relate to this weird stuff that we're talking about and say, wow, I'm actually willing to try to do that. Because any of us could become the spark that starts the whole thing, and it would not be stoppable at that point. This has never happened in human history that I know of, but that's no reason not to do it now. You know,
right.
if what I'm talking about had ever happened, we wouldn't be in this situation.
We are down to the last minute and a half, so
okay.
I have to use my time really carefully.
I would
like for people to go and visit LostArtsRadio.com.
Yeah.
Richard Sachs has some amazing videos, interviews with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Gareth Icke, Joel Skousen, one of my absolute favorites, Lee Merritt, and Mark Serkis. Those are the ones that I know that I like, that it really grabbed me. I would just say go over there, visit them for sure. And then we all have to really make a conscious effort to change, like I said, that chatter in my mind, I'm sure is in everybody else's mind as we walk through the day, watch all these people masked up. And I think that it just is defeative. And of course, we keep repeating this defeat and this fear, and that's what they want. So we can't give them what they want.
There's a lot to be upset about, and all of it's blocking our own potential. It doesn't mean be oblivious. It means turn the way that they don't want you to turn and then use it. And that's available for absolutely anybody.
And to love the fellow man, I think that that's one of the things when what I do, it's based in love. And what I wish for the people that I work with is based in love. I wish them all to love and be loved. And I think that that's the highest thing that we have.
That immediately helps you as well as them. And I found that I can't find anybody so far that's intrinsically evil. They're all just in the prison of this programming. And it's possible to be broken.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you with those great thoughts. I really appreciate it. This communication will continue.
Okay.
Take care. Best wishes.
Bye-bye. See you again. Bye.
Thanks.